Hi everyone, Shana Tova, it's Rav Moshe here with a mini shiur on Gedalia, on some Gedalia. So the first question we have to ask is, what's so special about Gedalia? What can we learn from his story? Why are we mourning for him? Or more properly, why do we have a special fast day for some Gedalia? Why not a fast day for Jehoiakim, who's one of the last kings of Beit Rishon? He's killed by Nebuchadnezzar in chains on the way to captivity. Why no fast day for his son Jehoiachin, who reigns only for 3 months and later dragged into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, along with all the Cheresh and the Masker? Why not a fast day for the day Menashe becomes king? Why not for them? There's so many tragedies in Jewish history, so many communities destroyed, so many righteous people killed in terrible ways. So why is Gedalia's death so much different? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Yud Chet Amud Bet, says, Lelam Decha Sheshkula Mitatan Shel Tzadikim Kisrifat Beit Elokeinu, that the death of Tzadikim, and obviously the Gemara is telling us that Gedalia was a big Tzadik, is equivalent to the destruction of the Mikdash. But then again, there's so many Tzadikim who have tragedies come to them. Why not a Tzom for Rabbi Akiva, for Rabbi Hananya Ben Tradion? Right? Our own base medrash building was built by crusaders who ravaged and destroyed Jewish communities throughout the Rhineland. Why not a fast for all of them? So our central question is, what makes the story of Gedalia so special we have a tzom every year on his yard site? So just giving a little background for the story, when does it take place? In 586 BCE, right when Beit Rishon was destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar burns down the base of Mikdash, exiles virtually the entire population, exiles Tzidkiyahu, who was the last king of Beit Rishon, destroys the base of Mikdash Yerushalayim, but he allows a very small remnant to live in the land, and not only that, but he allows them to live under the rule of a Jewish governor, Gedalia ben Achikam. Right? And he gives them a small measure of autonomy. Now, fast forward just 7 weeks later. 7 weeks later, and he's assassinated. And who assassinates him? A fellow Jew. Yishmael ben Netanya, who's from the Beit David, he's from the house of David, and he's upset. He's from the royal family. Gedalia's not. How dare someone who's not from Beit David lead the Jewish people in the land of Israel? And he comes and he assassinates Gedalia. And once that happens, that's it. No one survives in Eretz Yehuda. The remnant who still, the short, small remnant who still live there run for the hills, they run to Mitzrayim. Obviously, they're too afraid to go to Bavel, right? And for 70 years minimum, the land of Israel is Judenrein. No Jews in Eretz Israel. So one of the main reasons we have some Gedalia is not just for the death of Gedalia, but also for the death of the presence of Jews in our homeland. And as bad as the Chorban was, it didn't mark the end. Right? There was a small surviving remnant that was allowed there. And who knows? If Nebuchadnezzar had allowed us a Jewish governor and some autonomy, then maybe he would have allowed in due course some, if not many, Jews to return home as loyal Bavli subjects to work the land and pay the taxes. Maybe he would even allow them to build the Mikdash again. Right? So now we go into the story of Gedalia. So we're mourning for all of that. But there's another side to it as well. So you can find the story of Gedalia at the very end of Malachim Bet, and also in the 40th and 40th parak of Yirmiyahu. So Gedalia is the governor of a small part of the land of Yehuda, and of a few Jews, but he mamish has the samchut, he has the authority from the emperor himself to be in charge. And he already starts sending messages out to Jews to return home. Jews who ran away to Ammon, to Mitzrayim, come back home, right? In Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayishavalahem, he reassures them, he swears to them, and he says to them, Vayomer Lahem, Al Tiru Me'avdei HaKasdim, don't worry to be servants of the Bavlim. Shuvu ba'aretz, come back to the land, v'ivdu et ha-melech Bavel, v'itav lehem, serve the king of Bavel, and it will go well with you. Right? And this is where Yishmael ben Netanya sticks his ugly face into the mix. Yochanan ben Kereach, who's one of the captains, who's one of the warriors who's still left in the land of Israel, you could equate him, he's now the chief of the police force, and he comes and he warns Gedalia that Yishmael is a bad man. He's a petty man, and he's gunning for him, right? If we look in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem, Pasukim Yud Gimel Yun Yud Dalet, it says, Vayochanan ben Kireach, Vakol Sarei HaChayelim Asher Basadeh, all of the officers, all of the soldiers from the resistance who are still left, and they now join Gedalia's government, right? Bawel Gedalia HaMitzpata, they come to Gedalia at Mitzpah, and they say to him, Vemule Elav Hayodeh Tidaki Ba'alis Melech Bnei Amon Shalach and Yishmael Ben Netanya Ladchocha Nefash, Nafesh, did you know that Balis, the king of Ammon, has egged on Yishmael ben Netanya, and he's coming to kill you? And what happens? The pasuk finishes, V'lo amin lahem, Gedalia ben Achikam. But Gedalia ben Achikam would not believe him. He couldn't believe it. He says, a Jew's going to be so pity? so petty? Is it possible? He says, no, let's throw him, let's have, it's Rosh Hashanah coming up, let's have a party, let's have a banquet. It's a Jewish meeting after all. And we'll talk things through. Maybe he wants a good job in the new administration, but he wants to kill me over something so silly, so petty. How could that possibly be? Right? So what do we think of Gedaliah's decision? Right? Was he naive, brave, foolish, tragic, all those two together? Right? Because he could have frisked Ishmael and his henchmen. Right? Ishmael comes in with his gang, but he didn't. He says, you need to treat Ishmael with all due covet. You can't insult him. Right? So there's no debate that Gedaliah was a great man. He was a tzaddik, right? We quoted the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that, the death of tzaddikim, the death of Gedaliah is the equivalent of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Can you be a nice guy and still be a leader, right? Gedaliah was a tzaddik, but was he a good leader? Can the boss, can the king be a nice guy, right? Can you be Teddy, or do you need to be President Roosevelt? And what does it take to be a leader, and it's also a leader of Am Yisrael, right? And we also have to understand it's very difficult to answer these questions. How can we sit back, comfortable, beautiful, Beis Medrash, and the life we lead to now, and sit in judgment of who is in a very different and super hectic situation over 2,600 years ago? Right? So that's one of the most important lessons that you need to remember about learning Tanakh. You have to put yourself into the story. You know, feel what Gedaliah had to and would have at that time. That's where you do that. You really can understand the stories and episodes that happened in Tanakh and all of Jewish history. Put yourself in Gedaliah's shoes, and what would you have done, right? And remember, you don't have a tremendous amount of time to reflect, to think, right? You're in the aftermath of the Churban. Up until then, that was the greatest tragedy in Jewish history. Right? And you are trying to pull the remnants together and try to move forward. But obviously, as we know, Gedaliah did not make the right decision. That much we can definitely tell. Right? He was a tzaddik, he was a great guy. He went out of his way in the very short time that he was the governor to bring Jews home, to try to create hope in the future of Am Yisrael. So you definitely would want him as your best friend, but maybe not as the leader in a critical time. Right? And again, how is it that we can judge him? So I certainly can't, right? I don't think that any of us could, but I'm quoting from the Gemara here. The Gemara Nida, Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph says, Vahabor, there's a pit that they found with bones, and it's a Vahabor, they quote the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Tet, it says, the boar, Hu abor shemilei Yishmael ben Netanya chalalim, dichtiv hishlich sham Yishmael et kol pigrei anashim asher yikah biyad Gedaliah. This is the pit in which Yishmael had thrown corpses of people that he had killed. Quote the Gemara, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says that Yishmael threw all the dead bodies of the men who he had slain with Gedaliah. That seems to be one way a way to read the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "V'chi Gedaliah hargan," right? Did Gedaliah kill these people? V'li Yishmael hargan. Yishmael killed them. So the Gemara says, "Elamitoch shaya lo lachush leitzat Yochanan ben Kareach." Gedaliah had the responsibility to listen to the advice of Yochanan ben Kareach, the head of his police, the head of his forces. V'lochash, and he did not. He did not concern himself. He did not think about it. He did not worry about it enough. Ma'ale alav katuv. The pasuk is saying as if ki'ilu hargan, as if he himself killed these people as well. And in conclusion, on this little part, the Gemara says, the Rava says, "I'm a Rava. Hai lishna bisha." In the matter of lashon hara, afal bi delekabule lomabai. Even though we're not allowed to believe it, mecheshle. However, if someone comes to us with a very worrying accusation, we can't believe it. That's not allowed. That's accepting Lashon Hara. But we should be concerned about it. And Gedaliah should definitely have been concerned. Yochanan ben Kareach was a trustworthy. He was the head of his police force. He should have come to him. But he didn't listen to the advice of Yochanan ben Kareach. He is considered as if he killed those people as well. V'lochash! The Gemara says. Gedaliah chose to disregard this advice. And he should have known better. That's very harsh. That's heavy. But you know what? That's the responsibility that goes along with being a leader. Right? The buck stops with you. It's not always fair. It's not always right. But that's what it is. Today, that's worrying. Because that's part, in my humble opinion, I think that's the problem with the challenge of today's world. People don't take responsibility anymore. Right? They issue kind of non-apology apologies. or you call up the help center when there's a problem with your credit card, with the internet, and they tell you there's nothing they can do. Sorry. And what are you going to do? There's so little responsibility. There's very little accountability. So here the Gemara says, no, there needs to be. Leadership has to be accountable. Leadership has to be responsible. So Gedaliah, the Gemara says, well, not just the Gemara, the Pasuk and Yirmiyahu is saying, but the Gemara is commenting on it. Gedaliah's mom is considered like a murderer here because he had no right to take such an easy line with Yishmael. In his personal capacity, fine. If it was just his own life at risk, fine. That's his decision. But he rolled the dice with the future of Am Yisrael, and there's not a good enough excuse to say, but I just want to be a nice guy. No, the buck stops with you. Right? So the Gemara is not trying to trash a Gedaliah here, right? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah said that he was a tzaddik, right? He did. But the Gemara is trying to say here in Nida, it's so much more about you. It's not just your life. Your job was much more than just worrying about you. You needed to safeguard and guide the Jewish people through this crazy, tragic time. And because of the decisions that Gedaliah made, affects the Jewish people, the effects to the Jewish people were catastrophic, and they still remain to this day. There's an unbelievable little episode. If you read Churchill's monumental 6-volume history of the Second World War. Yes, I read it. Okay, I'm a bit of a loser. No, I'm not, but I did read it. So George VI, King George, wanted to be in the D-Day Armada. You know, it was one just to be on one of the battleships, not the landing craft, but just to be one of the part of that glorious episode, the turning point, the beginning of the end of World War II. And he himself, King George, when he was just a prince, he was a naval officer and he wanted to be there. And Churchill refused permission. Right? Even though one was the king, one was the prime minister, Churchill wrote him a letter and says, I can't let your majesty go. Even though there's a little chance that your battleship would be sunk, the blow to morale, to prestige, would be incalculable. And as much as His Majesty wants to go and wants to be part of it, it's not just His Majesty that has to, it's not just about you. You represent so much more than just you. And he wouldn't let him go. He refused permission. Right? Gedaliah was too trusting. Right? Being too trusting is as bad as not trusting enough. As a leader, in certain ways, you have to hope for the best, but you have to also expect the worst. So as a person, he was awesome. He was a tzaddik. But as a leader, there's something lacking because all immediate hope for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael disappears with him. So what can we take out of this? So we're in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. This is such a powerful time to think about the way your life is going, the type of commitments you want to make to Yiddishkeit for the rest of your life, the type of Jew you want to be, the type of home you want to have. And future you, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, will turn back and look at current you. What do you want future you to say about you? How did you take such an awesome chance in your life and blow it? You had such a chance to live your life in a certain way that would, or is future you going to turn back to you right now and say, Shkayach, you really made the right decisions. And the rest of our lives were totally different and awesome because of the decisions you made right now. Decisions need to be made with the long-term view. Not just what will be good for me now, but how this will play out for me 20, 30 years from now. I wish you all a Tav Shin Pei full of bracha, of simcha, of shefa and nachas. You have all the wonderful things that are coming to you. And I also wish you the ability to make fantastic, smart decisions. Not only decisions that will affect you tomorrow, but the decisions will affect you tomorrow, in the future, next year, and the next 20, 30 years. Shana Tova, Gemar Chatima Tov.